get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying, I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Shows you slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you thinking of this. You keep repeating your miss. The rhyme from the microphone solo with. So you sit by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume. Dance with the speaker till you hear it blow. Then plug in a headphone, cause here it go. It's a four-letter word when it's heard to control your body to dance. So dot text the tempo like a red alert. Reaches your reflex and let it work. When this is playing, you can't get stuck with the steps. So can say, and I'ma still come up with a gift to be swift. Follow the leader, the rhyme will go deaf with the record that was mixed a long time ago. It could be done, but only I could do it. For those that could dance and clap your hands to it. I start to think, and then I sink into the paper like I was ink. When I'm writing, I'm trapped in between the line. I escape when I finish the rhyme. I got soul, soul.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 217 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some old school Eric B and Rakim. I know you got soul, man. Rock out with your boy. Stage is empty. A beat like this might tempt me to pull, show my rings in my fat gold chain. Grab the mic like I'm on Soul Train, but I wait, cause I master this. Let the others go first so the brothers don't miss. Eric B, break the sticks. You got it! Rakim will begin when you make the mix. I'll experiment like a scientist. You wanna rhyme? You gotta sign my list. Cause I'ma manifest and bless the mic I hold. You wanna next? Then you gotta have soul. Cause if you ain't got it, I'ma make an encore. Take the mic, make the people respond for the awe. Cause that's the way it'll have to be. If you wanna get on after me, think about it, wait, erase your rhyme, forget it, and don't waste your time. Cause I'll be in the crowd if you ain't controlling it. Drop the mic, you shouldn't be holding it. This is how it should be done.
This style. Yes indeed, y'all. It has been a minute. It has been quite a minute. Your man Spann took like the longest of breaks, right? But we are back to it. We are back to the grind. We are back to the shenanigans. We are back after getting our chakras realigned and all of that shit. I feel good, y'all, man. I really do. I really needed that break, and I had to get back. I had to get back, man. I was chomping at the bit. Y'all don't realize how, like, addictive this podcast and shit really is for your boy. It's very important to me, man, and I really appreciate everybody who's in the chat room right now listening and everybody who's going to listen to this podcast later, man. But, yo, we are back for episode number 217, and, yo, man, it feels good. It feels good. Let me turn this down, though. Can't keep playing this all day long, man. I love it, but you know, we can't keep playing it all day long. But yo, man, we are back to it, man. It's so much shit going on, and I know I missed talking about a lot of shit, but it also really did feel good. It really did feel good to kind of take a step back, man, and like, yo, just get my shit realigned, man. Like, yo, I don't know if y'all could tell on episode 216, but your man Spann was a little weary, yo. I was a little weary, yo. This Trump shit is like, you know, I felt like, yo, man, that was, it was like one of them 2-for-24 games, man. I couldn't hit a bucket, baby. That's how I felt on episode 216. But you know what, man? You know, sometimes you got to take a step back. Sometimes you got to realign yourself. Sometimes you got to, you know, like, take a look at the film, you know what I'm saying? See where you can get better in the game, man. And then you come back the next time. You done took a look at the film. You done realigned how you do your shit. And, yo, that's how we going to approach episode 217, man. Real talk. But I see the homeboy Jack is in the, he's in the chat room. Happy belated birthday, fam. Like, yeah, I got to do the birthday shout-outs, man. I really do. I gotta like engage the listeners in that way, man. Let y'all know I be thinking about y'all as much as y'all listen to and support this podcast, man. I really do need to shout y'all out a hell of a lot more, man. Shout out to you too, Stephanie. But yeah, man, we are chilling out here on this Tuesday night, man. I'm a little upset with the weather, man, today, you know, because you know, I woke up this morning fully expecting not to do a goddamn thing at work today. I went to work today not expecting to do shit. I went to work today not trying to work, right? Like that whole, like, we don't work in the rain and the contract shit, I take that shit to heart, nigga. So I'm looking at the weather report like, yo, it's supposed to rain all day, nigga? Oh, shit, nigga, I'm about to be in this truck. I'm about to get some podcast prep going, nigga. I'm about to be on these Twitter streets, nigga. And nah, man. That shit was done by like 10 o'clock, nigga. I was a little bit upset. You know, your man Spam was like, yo, man, what the fuck is this bullshit? Why is the sun coming out? I think I'm the only person that y'all probably know that really looks forward to rain all the time. Outside of like maybe farmers and shit. Right? Because the farmer like, yo, man, I got to get these crops, man. We got to get all the rain, man. This drought is killing us, man. We ain't going to be able to make no money. Meanwhile, I'm just like, yo, man, like they going to pay me to be here. This rain need to come. Right, this rain need to come, but yo, man, it is good to be back here on the mic and sharing my opinion with you guys, and of course soliciting y'all's opinions too, because this isn't just about me, man. I really do implore you guys to go and you know, through the various means of letting your voice be heard here at the Spare Report Podcast. And as I'm talking about that, let me let y'all know how y'all can do that. Let me remind y'all, because it's been a minute. You can hit me up at this hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages, of course. We play those voicemail messages here on the show. We respond to those voicemail messages here on the show. And while we're doing the show live, you can call in and you can chop it up with, you know, with me while we're doing it. You know what I'm saying? You can all head to that hotline. Area code 313-288-0485, man. Real talk. Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we will reply to those emails here live on the show, man. So go ahead and do that. We really appreciate everybody who does that. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Now, some interesting things going on with that iTunes reviews and shit. I went to go check to see if we had any more iTunes reviews, you know, so that I can respond to your iTunes reviews right here live on the show, right? And for whatever reason, all of my iTunes reviews have disappeared. All except one from like 3 years ago. All of them are gone. I wonder what the fuck's going on with iTunes right now. I don't know, but if you would. If you haven't left a 5-star review and let me know how you feel about the show, man, I would appreciate if you go about the business of doing that. If you have done that, I don't see it anymore. iTunes got rid of it for whatever reason. Could you please do it again? I know it's not. I mean, it feels like a lot to ask of you, but it's really not. It's really not, man. You could just say like, yo, I like the show. Boom. There you go. Or yo, this nigga sucks. Boom. There you go. But at least I'd have that review, man. A 5-star review, because the 5-star ones are the ones that get read on the show. But yo, man, yeah, something's going on with that iTunes shit, man. Leave those 5-star reviews, though. Get those numbers back up, because I don't know what the hell happened to our iTunes reviews, man. Maybe I need to sign in on iTunes, because I don't really use Apple devices or nothing like that. But maybe I need to sign in or something. I don't know. But all I know is I went to iTunes, and I went to look at my reviews, and boom, all of them were gone except one. So I really would appreciate everybody who listens to the show and who likes this show. Or even if you don't like the show, go to iTunes and let us know how you're feeling about the Spare Report Podcast, man. Real talk. Also, you can hit us up on our website. I've been doing some work to the website. I think the website is a hell of a lot easier to navigate now. We got a little bit of a different look on there. But we really do want you guys to go to the website and, you know, just peruse that boy. You know what I'm saying? Like, find some of the old episodes, you know, or go back and listen to Beer and Chicken, because there's a Beer and Chicken segment on there. You can go from there to our store, man, at the T Public store. You can go to our T Public store right from the website. Like, there's a lot of stuff on that www.thespanreport.com, man. There's a lot of stuff on there for you guys to go ahead and consume. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. That's a lot going on there. And we would really appreciate if you guys would go about that and do that for us, man. Real talk. But, yo, man, I feel rusty. I feel a little rusty. But, yo, we're going to get into this. And, I got a couple random thoughts, man. I got a few random thoughts. And some of you who follow me on Facebook may have been privy to some of these thoughts. But for those of you who haven't, this is your first time, right? So I was thinking, you know, we kind of romanticize the civil rights movement, right? You know, we look back on the civil rights movement and, you know, all the video was in black and white. I remember when I was a kid, I used to think that like our parents and shit saw everything in black and white, just like the TV and shit. I didn't think they saw colors, man. That's just how it is. That's how kid minds works, right? But like, I remember like, you know, you romanticize it in the sense that everybody after these things have kind of had some time to go away and things have kind of settled down a bit. Like everybody who weren't there at that time, like we aren't privy to what was actually going on behind the scenes to a large degree, or how our grandparents and our parents really, really felt during that time, especially after some of the gains of the civil rights movement were kind of settling into everyday society, right? And so a lot of our parents and grandparents were able to kind of pretend like they was always down for the cause. You know what I'm saying? I think the Boondocks actually did they actually kind of spoofed Granddad, saying Granddad, you know, talking about he marched with Dr. King and really he was against King the whole way. And I think some of our grandparents and some of our parents, man, they kind of fronting, you know what I'm saying? But we don't really have the receipts with which to call them out on their bullshit. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for y'all who have been against this Black Lives Matter or this current movement for Black liberation. I feel sorry for y'all when y'all kids and y'all grandkids come of age and they get to looking back at the archive to see all the shit that you said against this movement and against the progress that's going on right now. You're not going to be able to hide in much the same way that our grandparents and our parents did, man. You're just not going to be able to do it. All they got to do is like the little kid going to pull up. Hey, Granddad. Didn't you say you was down with Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, boy, I was down with Black. What kind of question is that to ask me?
Well, I was looking through the Facebook archive hologram, and it said back in like 2014, you said that Black Lives Matter was a feminist plot to like kind of impose homosexuality on the Black community and usurp the authority of the Black man. Granddad, are you what the old people call a hotep?
Meanwhile, your dumbass standing there like just wondering if like how the fuck he got a hologram. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't gonna be able to hide, man. You're not gonna be able to hide the bullshit, yo. So it might be time for y'all, real talk, to kind of get on the right side of history, get your mind right, get your thinking right, man. Some of this stuff, it really isn't rocket science. Nobody's free until everybody is, man. Real talk. But that was one of the random thoughts I had, man. We ain't gonna be able to hide from our kids when it comes to finding out whether or not we were really down for the movement and whether or not we were just fronting, right? Another random thought that I had, man, this is something that is actually kind of odd, man. You know, I like sausages, man. Like I eat sausages when I come home from work, you know, as like a little snack before you know, my wife may cook or I may, you know, hook up a little something. Let me stop lying. My wife mostly does the cooking. She will not let me in the kitchen to do most of the cooking, man. I got this one dish that I want to make, and she never wants me to make. I call it, what's that, chicken a la king? Like, nah, man, she not trying to have any parts of the chicken a la king, man. So she be like, nah, man, nah. And that's really my main dish, you know what I'm saying? That's when I was broke, and I was living by myself. Yo, I knew I could make that, and it was bomb to me, you know what I'm saying? My wife ain't really trying to have no parts of it, though. So she don't really let me in the kitchen to do any cooking. But like I was thinking, man, like I was cooking the sausage, man. You ever take the skin off of the sausage, man? You ever do that? Like, and like what it looks like after you take it off of the sausage, it kind of looks like a used condom. You ever thought about that? I mean, I hadn't thought about it until like I was boiling some sausages and I like took the skin off. Like, oh shit, this looks like a used rubber. I'm the only one? Okay. Yeah. Fuck y'all, man. Fuck y'all. Oh man, another thing, man, another random thought that I had was I was on YouTube, and I'm on YouTube relatively frequently now, man, because sometimes that's how I get my news. Like I'll even have YouTube on while I'm in the car and I'm kind of watching a little bit. I mean, I'm watching the road and shit, don't get me wrong, but I have it playing while I'm driving, you know, to work or whatever. And sometimes on my way back home from work, I'll have YouTube on. And like I had, like, I think Vlad TV came up on like the, you know, the YouTube queue or whatever. Like, it was Vlad TV, and they had Lord Jamar on there. It was like a new set of Lord Jamar interviews and shit that was playing or whatnot. And I gotta say, man, Aaron Magruder needs to come back. Aaron Magruder needs to do like a very special, like after school special type of episode of the Boondocks, only to examine why Vlad TV keeps interviewing Lord Jamar. Like, real talk, I could see Riley, like, I could see Riley really being into the Vlad TV videos, and like Huey being like, man, what the fuck is this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, like, why do they keep letting this dude get on TV or get on these YouTube streets and say the most ignorant shit as if he's speaking from any level of authority for black folks, man? So yeah, man, Aaron Magruder, the Boondocks, he need to come back only so they can do that very special episode of the Boondocks, man. Real talk. That was one of the random thoughts that I had, man. But outside of the random thoughts, man, it was one thing that that was like kind of on my mind while I was like away from the mic and stuff. And it was one of those things where, like I told y'all, I needed to take a little bit of a break. And the break was, outside of it just being like a little bit weary, like being on the mic, because I know I was talking about a lot of heavy shit, and a lot of this Donald Trump shit is like heavy, and it wasn't, I didn't find like the last episode funny at all. Like, I listened to that last episode. I think I'm one of my harshest critics when it comes to this show. Like, I listened to that episode. As a matter of fact, right after I got off the mic, I like, I don't like it. Right? I don't like it. But like, I was listening to that, and one of the things that I was thinking about was like, why I podcast, right? Like, why the podcast is important to me. Why I think that I want to continue to do podcasting and stuff. And I was sitting up, me and my wife were talking, we were having a really good conversation, and a lot of it was, a lot of the conversation stemmed around like a bit of the frustration that I have. And a lot of the frustration that I have, sometimes I feel like, that sense of, what is it? What's the word that I'm looking for right now? Futility. Like, I was exercise. It was like this podcast, and the ways in which I was looking at it was an exercise in futility, right? Because as I've been doing the show, like, of course you guys have seen, like, you know, my thought processes on a lot of things have kind of changed over the years, man. And the ways that I think about stuff is like a little bit different than how I came up. And when having some of these conversations with friends and with family, like, yo, I'm pretty much like the odd dude out. Like, nobody's really like, nobody's like as receptive to these things, right? And a lot of it is because of, you know, some of these things were things that I grew up with, some of the ideas that I grew up with, I'm sort of rejecting to a large degree. And some of our friends to a large degree, they're still holding on to this. And it's frustrating when, like, you have a way of thinking and you're looking at things a certain way, and you're trying to articulate a way for them to like kind of see what it is you're thinking, but like they're like, nah, fuck that shit. Right. And so with the podcast, man, it's like, it's my one avenue to be able to just kind of say what I'm feeling about a lot of this shit. And there is a receptive audience to it. There is someone who wants to hear it. There is somebody who can identify with the things that I'm talking about to a certain degree. And so, I had to kind of like take a step back and like have that little bit of self-examination and say, you know, try to figure out, you know, why I do this and what I feel like I'm going to get out of it, right? And I had to credit my wife for even having that conversation with me, because I hadn't even thought about it much, you know. And so that kind of put things in perspective as to how I want to go forward with podcasting and stuff like that. But yeah, that was on my mind, yo. That was on my mind. So I guess that's the end of all the random thoughts and shit, right? That's the end of all of it. Let's get to the other shit, man. Real talk. But yo, it is time for us to get into our segments. And of course, we got to start off with our news. That is one long ass bumper, right? So, Yeah, man. The first story that we're going to talk about here in the news is, of course, you guys know by this point that Aretha Franklin has passed away. Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, born in Memphis, raised in, right here in the city of Detroit, a really big icon in the music world, man. You know, like, she was self-taught on the piano. She could play instruments by ear, had a really powerful, booming voice, man. Performed for three presidents, got the Congressional Medal of, the Congressional Medal of Freedom? I think that's the highest civilian honor a person can get here in the United States. Yo, man, like, just a pioneer and an icon in an era where there were a lot of pioneers and icons, yet she stood out amongst all of them, right? And so I know Aretha Franklin was a really big, she was a big deal around the world, but I know here in Detroit, man, like, she was very much appreciated for the ways in which she stood up for Detroit, man. Like, out of, when you look up, when you think about all of the ways in which, you know, Detroit has been maligned nationally or internationally, whether it be the shenanigans of Kwame Kilpatrick and the bankruptcy, or some of the poverty that happens here in Detroit, the way that the school system has been run here in Detroit. You look at the auto industry, the bankruptcies of both Chrysler and GM, like, and the white flight, people leaving the state of Michigan and moving to other places. And a lot of it stemmed from, you know, the loss of the auto infrastructure or what have you. But, like, yo, Aretha, like, stayed, man. Like, Detroit was always home for Aretha Franklin. And, you know, she gave of herself in many ways, man. And a lot of things, we talk about philanthropy a lot. Like, I know, like, LeBron James, he's got his school in Akron, Ohio, and it's great that LeBron James has that school in Akron, Ohio, and he's making sure that, like, I think he pledged like $41 million to the city of Akron so that kids from that city can go and have their college educations paid for. Like, big things, man. But one of the things that I think is underrated is the fact that, like, yo, you have people who are out here doing really good things for people, but they're not really looking for the accolades and the pat on the back. And Aretha Franklin is one of those people, man. Aretha Franklin gave money and looked out for a lot of people here in the city of Detroit. And she made sure, like, yo, like, she didn't even want the recognition for it. Yo, it just had to be done, you know. And excuse me. And Aretha Franklin has been vocal and active in many ways like that, man. Like, Aretha Franklin bailed Angela Davis out of jail against the wishes of her own father. Now, her father was very influential in the civil rights movement of the 60s that we were talking about a little bit earlier, right? But even then, he didn't want her getting involved with someone like an Angela Davis, because, again, like, you think about the attitudes of how people were viewed then as opposed to how they're viewed now. And, like, if you were labeled a communist, and I think Angela Davis was an avowed communist, but if you were labeled a communist back then, that was like a scarlet letter because of how the country viewed these sorts of things. And so for Aretha Franklin to stand up and say that, no, this is something that I want to do, kind of put her at odds with even her own father. But she did it because she thought that was the right thing to do, man. And so for us to lose a voice like an Aretha Franklin is a terrible thing. And now, another thing too, man, like, you know, she passed away from pancreatic cancer. You know, that's the same ailment that I lost my great grandmother to. It's a deadly form of cancer. I mean, all of them are, but, I can remember, like, just even the week where they were talking about her being gravely ill, there was reports that she was coming too, you know, like, she was coming back towards a more stable level of health. And then the very next day behind that was when, you know, you get word that Aretha Franklin had passed away, man. And so it's a big loss. It's a big loss in the music world. It's a big loss in the city of Detroit. It's a big loss for fans of her and the whole nine, man. So tribute to and respect to the Queen of Soul. Now, interesting thing, man. As I was like kind of looking into, you know, more into Aretha Franklin and trying to learn more about Aretha Franklin, because truth be told, man, I didn't know a whole lot about Aretha Franklin before this, outside of, you know, respect and her her part on the Blues Brothers, because that was one of my favorite movies growing up. Like, what I did not know, man, is that there was a familial connection between my family and Aretha Franklin. And as I was looking up some of the, you know, some of the news of, you know, trying to figure out, you know, some things about Aretha Franklin, I found out that my Uncle Purvis was the person who actually crowned her the Queen of Soul. Like, how tripped out is that, right? How trippy is that? And it is weird in the sense that, like, yo, like I can remember, like, growing up and hearing stories about, like, my Uncle Purvis's influence on certain musical acts. Like, there's a, you know, I remember, like, in my family, there was a story about Uncle Purvis used to manage the Jackson 5. And I was thinking to myself, like, how crazy. I never believed that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, yeah, when they were coming right out of Gary, yeah, Purvis managed them. And I'm like, well, I thought Joe Jackson was their manager. And they never even talked about Uncle Purvis on, you know, the Jackson 5, American Dream, and none of that. It was always Joe. It was like, no, your Uncle Purvis used to manage the Jackson 5. I'm like, well, and I don't even know if I still believe that. But, like, to see that in the news, like, just looking up random information and finding my uncle's name associated with her in that way, that was crazy. That was crazy, man. So, yeah, man, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, coined that by my Uncle Purvis Spann, Chicago radio disc jockey and show promoter. Yo, man, that, like I said, man, that was wild. That was wild to find out. And yeah, man, the familial connection to that, man, I was blown away. Yeah, the 6 degrees of separation, man, like the world is getting so much smaller. The world is getting so much smaller. We know so many people who know somebody who knows somebody who's really big now. I don't even think there's 6 degrees anymore. I think to a certain degree, man, we're probably down to like the 2 or 3 degrees away from like knowing somebody who's really fucking important. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that small now. You know what I mean? But yeah, man. So Aretha Franklin, we celebrate her life. We respect everything that she was able to accomplish in this life, man. And the Queen of Soul, is no longer with us. Her funeral arrangements have been set. I believe she's having her funeral at the Greater Grace Temple in Detroit on the 30th of August. I think they said the 30th of August is when they're having a private ceremony for her family. But if you wanted to view Aretha Franklin, she will be lying in state at the Charles H. Wright Museum in Detroit on the 28th and the 29th of August. So for those of you who plan on traveling to pay respects, man, that's how you go about, you know, the business of doing that, man. But much respect to the Queen of Soul, man. Rest in peace. Another thing that is in the news. Ah, man, we get to the, like, I'm going to try to keep it light, y'all. I'm going to try to keep it light. But, yo, man, they back on the bullshit and on this voting rights, man. On the voting rights, they back to the bullshit. So, in Georgia, there are actual efforts to try to close polling places in a majority black district leading up to the 2018 midterm elections. So I'm going to read this story here. This comes out of the Huffington Post, man. It says election officials in a rural Southwest Georgia county are defending a plan to suddenly close 7 of the county's 9 polling places against allegations of racial discrimination, saying the ones it wants to close are not sufficiently accessible to people with disabilities. Now, okay. So you gonna close polling places because they are not accessible to people who have disabilities. However, they are still accessible to the folks who are not suffering from those disabilities, who can still go up and vote. You're going to disenfranchise the folks who have the ability to get up and maneuver around these buildings so that you can accommodate or not even accommodate the people who don't have the ability to kind of move around with the same freedom. Don't really make a whole hell of a lot of sense. Says Randolph County, the site of the proposed changes is more than 60% black, with a little over 30% of residents in poverty, more than double the national level. The Georgia chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union sent the letter to the election board earlier this week, warning of a lawsuit because the proposed closures discriminated against black voters. These voters, the group said, were less likely to own a car and will be required to walk over 3 hours to one of the two remaining polling locations because there is no public transportation to get them there. So most of these folks aren't financially able to move around as freely. Some of these folks they don't have access to public transportation to get them to these polling places, and yet you're going to make it even more difficult for them to vote. And I've said this numerous times here on the show, man. Listen, if your vote wasn't important, if it wasn't important, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take it away from you. And I'll be damned if it's not a Republican in charge of this process who is trying to take the vote away from you. So when we talk about like black Republicans and stuff like that, like how can you with a straight face continue to support a group of people who would disenfranchise others who look just like you? And if you weren't even really associated with them, they would do you the exact same way. I'm trying to understand it. I'm really trying to understand it, but they keep trying. They keep coming up with ways to try to fuck with your right to vote. It says during a public meeting to discuss the changes Thursday evening, Mike Malone, a consultant hired by the county, said that the 7 polling places did not comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Officials said that they don't have time to fix them, so they would close them instead. Sean Young, the ACLU of Georgia's legal director, attending the meeting Thursday night and dismissed the suggestion that a lack of ADA compliance meant that polling places had to close. Randolph County residents who attended there were also skeptical of the excuse, according to local reports. If a government building is not ADA compliant, the solution is to make them ADA compliant. If you cut your hand, you don't chop off your arm to heal the wound. It makes no sense. It says they've had decades to fix these issues, and they've had elections in these polling places. The better question is, why haven't these issues been fixed? And why, instead of fixing them, are you shutting them down? Now, the interesting thing about this is, in Georgia, there's a black woman who's running for governor. She could actually become the first black woman ever elected governor in the United States. She could be, of course, the first black woman elected governor in the state of Georgia. I think her name is Stacey Abrams. I believe that's her name. And how more blatant and like transparent could you be to like try to shut down a majority black county and shut down 7 of 9 polling places, which basically is an effort to suppress the vote of those who would more than likely lean towards voting for Stacey Abrams. Now, the interesting thing about this is that they've pretty much admitted this. They've admitted this in a way in which they didn't think this shit would get out to the public, but they've admitted this. So Brian Kemp, who's also who's a Republican challenger for the state of for the governor's seat in Georgia, he's actually quoted as saying this. So it says I'm getting this here from Slate.com. It says on Thursday evening, the election board of Randolph County, Georgia, met to discuss a startling proposal to eliminate 3/4 of the county's polling places months before the November election. A rural, impoverished, and predominantly black county, Randolph has just 9 polling places, all of which were open during the May primaries and July runoffs. The election board may soon shut down 7 of them, including one in a precinct where about 97% of the voters are black. Okay. Now, okay. So further on into this article, it goes on to say that Kemp, who's Stacey Abrams' opponent, says also canceled. I think he's the Secretary of State in that state as well. So he's also, he has control of some of the electioneering that's going on in Georgia. It says Kemp also canceled or suspended 35,000 voter registrations using Exact Match, a version of Chris Kobach's notorious cross-check program that compares registrants' information with motor vehicle and Social Security databases. If a single letter, space, or hyphen did not match the database information, the voter application was rejected. Black voters were 8 times more likely than whites to have their registrations halted, due to Exact Match. Perhaps most egregiously, Kemp launched an investigation into Stacey Abrams' effort to register more minority voters despite no evidence of fraud. He used the probe to harass and intimidate voting rights advocates. Later, he refused to register 40,000 would-be voters who would sign up through the drive. Speaking to Republicans behind closed doors, Kemp explained the stakes. registering all these minority voters that are out there. If they can do that, they can win these elections. Let me read that to you again. Registering all these minority voters that are out there. If they can do that, they can win elections. During Kemp's tenure, Georgia's population has increased substantially, yet the number of registered voters has actually gone down. If your vote wasn't important, they wouldn't be trying so hard to take it away from you, man. They wouldn't be trying so hard. So, yeah, man, I implore everybody who's in the state of Georgia, and I know I got a lot of listeners down in Georgia. Y'all are some of my more ardent listeners. Yo, man, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote, man. They're trying way too hard to disenfranchise you guys. They're trying way too hard to squelch your voice. Don't let them do it. Do not let them do it. Get out and vote, man. Educate yourself on the issues. Educate yourself on the candidates. Get out there and vote, man. Real talk. Another thing that's going on in the news, man. Oh, and this shit is kind of like breaking news, yo. So, yo, Donald Trump. Oh, shit. I think this is the first time I've said Donald Trump's name, and I got a little giddy about what the fuck I'm about to say, man. Real talk. So, Donald Trump's lawyer has pled guilty to 8 counts of campaign finance violations, yo. Oh, shit. Where's my sound? Where is it? I'm not getting sound. I'll be damned. I'll be damned. What about this?
It was at this moment where this listener knew he fucked up.
Okay, so that works. But yeah. So yeah, man. Michael Cohen has pled guilty. And he's turned state's evidence. He's turned on Trump. Because basically he's saying that, yo, not only did I violate these laws, but I did these because Donald Trump told me to do it. And he's being caught up because of the fact that he's being caught up because, as you know, Michael Cohen has been making payments to women to keep them silent about speaking out against Donald Trump, namely Stormy Daniels, who alleges that, yo, he paid her $130,000 to keep quiet about an affair that he had with her right before the election. There was another woman who also came out and said the very same thing, that he had an affair with her while he, like, maybe a little bit before he was president. And so Michael Cohen was charged with getting a hold of these women, paying them money, and basically buying their silence, right? And he's flipped on Donald Trump and said, like, yo, so I did this. I'm willing to take the consequences for this. And he told me to do it. He told me to do it. So you got that going on. And then on top of that, Donald Trump's campaign manager in the 2016 campaign was found guilty on 8 counts of fraud, right? This man ain't been paying his taxes, man. He been lying about where the money been going the whole nine, man. They got him on 8 of 18 counts of fraud, right? And it goes back, man. It goes like why I'm wearing this shirt, right? You're going to miss me, and I got Obama on right now. Like, I can remember doing a campaign. Like, Donald Trump went out of his way to talk about how you wouldn't want a president who's going to be constantly under investigation, referring to Hillary Clinton, who's constantly under investigation, who is crooked, who is not worthy of the office because she's crooked, and he's going to surround himself with the best people. And yet here we are 18-19 months into this dude being, like, you know, installed into the presidency, and you got his national security advisor who's turned state's evidence. You got his own personal attorney who's turned state's evidence. You got his his campaign manager who was found guilty. Like, yo, man, the bodies are adding up, man. Truth be told, though, and I want to temper my excitement. I want to temper my excitement because at the end of the day, what's going on here is, like, what Trump can pardon these dudes. Like, no matter what's going on, they may not ever see a day in jail because Trump can say, well, that's my homie. I'm going to take care of him and pardon him, right? So I don't want to get like too excited, but yo, it's one of those things, man, where you can see, like, yo, he kept talking about draining the swamp, and yo, he may have just brought the swamp with him. The swamp was him. Now, getting his sycophant fans to to admit that is something entirely altogether, right? But yo, man, good news, man. Good news on the front of like common sense and decency and all of that shit, man. Donald Trump and his associates are being hit with guilty pleas and fucking and guilty verdicts, man. He's surrounded by felons, man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Barack Obama was doing half of the shit that Donald Trump is doing and being caught up on it or being called out for it, man? It's crazy, man. Real talk. Now, you know what? I'm going to switch this up. I don't want to talk Blue Blazers right now. I want to talk Proud to be an American. That's what I want to do. I want to talk Proud to be American. Where am I Proud to be American music at? There we go. That I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. All right, that's enough of that shit. Jesus. But it's Proud to be an American time, y'all. And in Proud to be an American, we still talking Trump. But see, we got to have fun with this, man. That's what I learned over the course of my little break, man. I got to have fun with this shit. I can't be so uptight and worried about a lot of it. I got to let it loose, man. I got to let it loose. And while we're talking about Trump, we're talking about Omarosa too, right? So Omarosa, I remember y'all, you know, when she first got fired, man, and she went on like all the shows, like the Today Show and CBS This Morning and all these shows, man. Everybody remembers that moment when Robin Roberts told her, like, bye, Felicia, because she knew that Omarosa would be coming back and selling her story, right? Now, the interesting thing about Omarosa selling her story is that all these news media outlets have been kind of biting on the story, right? Like, they chomping at the bit to see what the fuck it is that Omarosa has to say about what was going on in the White House, right? And Omarosa got a lot of juicy tidbits, man. She got, like, audio tapes in the Situation Room of his chief of staff firing her, dude. Like, they allowed her to bring a cell phone into the Situation Room, which brings into question a lot of the protocols that aren't being followed in this White House. But, yo, she has that. Then she had another incident where they're talking about whether or not Donald Trump said nigga, right? Not the N-word. He said nigga, right? And she's on the phone with Katrina Pearson, who was a campaign spokesperson back in 2016, and some other lady, I don't know her name, but like, she worked in the campaign. She worked on the campaign, and she's a part of that White House staff and everything else. And they were talking amongst themselves about whether or not Donald Trump said nigga, right? And it's interesting. The interesting thing about this conversation is, like, everybody keeps talking about whether or not, if Donald Trump said it, whether or not that's going to change anything with his, like, with anybody. Like, truth be told, most of us who don't really like Donald Trump and don't fuck with Donald Trump already believe that Donald Trump said nigga. It's not going to change a damn thing for us, right? We're going to be like, oh, that's another thing in the list of things that this dude has done that, like, yo, like, I could have told you he said that. That shit doesn't surprise me at all. But for his backers, for his supporters, for his fans, like, those people, even if they heard him say that, even if they heard him say it, they're going to be like, well, what was the context, you know? Because he could have been reading off Moby Dick or something. What's the name of that book, man? Uncle Tom's Cabin or something like that. He could have been reading something, man. He could have just been repeating something he read or something, man. You can't just take, wait. He called Omarosa a nigger? Well, you know, she does act niggerish. You know what I mean? She does act niggerish, you know. Huck Finn. Huck Finn, that's what it was. Huck Finn. He was reading Huck Finn. No, he wasn't reading. Donald Trump doesn't read. Oh, okay. He doesn't read. Yeah, he tells us he doesn't read at all. So, shit. Well, goddammit, so what he said it. I mean, shit, niggas say it all the time. Hell, I heard 50 Cent say it. I heard Ice Cube say it. I heard Lil Wayne say it. They can say it. Why can't we say it? How come Donald Trump can't say it if they can say it? It's reverse racism. It's going to turn into a whole thing. They don't give a fuck what Donald Trump does, man. Like, it's only going to embolden them even more. Like, they're going to embrace the fact that he said it. Like, Donald Trump says what everybody's thinking. They've been telling themselves this shit the whole time, bro. They don't give a fuck. It's going to help him even more with his racist base. Like, this dude couldn't even say that the Ku Klux Klan, man, were bad people. He couldn't even say that about neo-Nazis, man. Somebody died at a rally in Charlottesville last year because of Nazis. And this dude said it was good people on both sides, man. Good people on both. Jackie said he used the A and not the ER. No, man. He used that hard ER, man. He used that hard ER. He used that hard ER. But, yo, man, like, they don't care. That's the thing. Like, I don't think it changes much for anybody whether or not Donald Trump said this thing, right? But the interesting thing about it, so I was looking at some of these videos, man, and Katrina Pearson was out and she's calling herself refuting the fact that she, and this is after she's on tape saying, like, yo, Donald Trump said it, he's embarrassed. Everybody kept trying to harp on the fact that she said it. I was more enamored with the fact that, like, she was saying, okay, but even if he did say it, what was the context so we could figure out how to spin it, right? If anybody, like, checked out the, like, she was on CNN, and I think she was on Fox News, too, and everybody kept trying to hammer her on the fact that she said that he said it, let's move on, because that's how she tried to put it. But the fact that this black woman, who was on the Trump campaign, would ask, what was the context so we can figure out how to spin how this racist white dude said nigger to the rest of everybody else. And then on top of that, we're going to claim that this dude is not racist. We just got to figure out how he said it. Like, no, nigga, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, man. Where is that? I gotta get my old ladies back, man. Where's that's not how it works. I can't find it. It's been a while. I can't find my sound effects. But yeah, man. So you got that going on, man. Like, so Omarosa is, like I said, Omarosa's all over the place. And folks are now considering. Folks are out here considering whether or not Omarosa is back. Is she invited to the cookout?
What?
I said, is Omarosa invited back to the cookout?
What?
Is she invited back to the cookout?
Not never. Not never.
No. Absolutely fucking not. Right? And, like, it's interesting, man. Like, I know, like, some people, there's the hatred for Donald Trump where, you know, yo, man, we just want to see this motherfucker brought down, man. Like, we hate what we're seeing exhibited in the White House right now. We hate the policies that are coming down from this White House right now. And we're looking forward to, like, yo, getting this shit over with as quickly as possible. Not really understanding for a lot of folks, man. Not really understanding the guy behind him is probably a little bit worse. And also a seasoned politician who maybe not be as brash as Donald Trump, but believes in a lot of the same policies that Donald Trump believes in, especially when it comes to abortion and immigration, right? So, yo, like, whether or not Omarosa is invited to the cookout, I'm going to tell y'all right now, when it comes to me, like, nah, man, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Omarosa been, like, out for Omarosa for the longest time, man. I remember when Omarosa was talking about all of his critics are going to be bowing down to President Trump. And I remember laughing at her when she said that shit, not thinking, like, yo, man, these motherfuckers really out here voting for Donald Trump, right? And then she sat there as a person in the White House, as a person, not necessarily in the White House, but as a person who was affiliated with Donald Trump, as a person who was basically the public black face of his administration, because she was the highest ranking African-American in his campaign or in his administration, allowing herself to be used in that way and totally ignoring the, yo, there's my African-American over there. There were good people on both sides. So many different things, man. And I'm like Judge Curiel couldn't judge me properly because he's of Mexican descent. Dude was born in Indiana. Like, all sorts of things that Donald Trump has done over the course of the last 18 months. Not only the last 18 months of his presidency, but then dating back to before he was even president, when she known him as the Apprentice, and all of the things we know about him now from the Central Park Five and his housing discrimination lawsuits that he had to sell, all the whole shebang. And now you come out with this story like, yo, I got a book to sell and people are going to buy it. I don't know if it's enough to get you back in the good graces of black folks, though. You did too much. And people know you as an opportunist. So, yeah, man. You know, interesting thing too, man, whether or not, when it comes to the defense of Omarosa, right? Because there was a segment of folks who were like, yo, man, Donald Trump out here calling Omarosa a dog, man, and it's racist and all these things. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, what he said may have been racist, but at the same time, like, I don't know if I care as much because of some of the things that she was complicit with. And I hate that it comes down to that. But truth be told, yo, like, hey, man, you've been out here fucking up egregiously. Like, what you want us to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, just forget all the shit that you've been doing along with this dude for the last 18 months. Man, get the fuck out of here. That's not happening. So, yeah, man, that's going on. And what in Blue Blazes, y'all? Another thing that's going on in Blue Blazes is Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been banned off of YouTube, iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Facebook, Vimeo, and Twitter for a week. Ah, shit. Damn it, where's my sound? So, yeah, fuck it. But, yeah, that's what's going on. Alex Jones was banned from all of these platforms, right? And so, predictably, a lot of folks came out talking about whether or not Alex Jones has had his First Amendment rights besmirched. Has his First Amendment rights been taken away from him? And I'm going to tell you right now, we've talked about this ad nauseum here on the show. They're like, yo, truth be told, the only thing that the First Amendment guarantees is you not being able to be persecuted by the government. The government cannot persecute you for your language against this government. They cannot lock you up for your language against this government. That's not what they can. They cannot do that. However, if you are at work, which a lot of white folks, when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, like to point out, like, yo, he's at work. This protest is some bullshit. And he's at work. He need to conform. But at work, on these social media platforms where you have to follow the terms of service of these platforms, you're not guaranteed freedom of speech in these ways, man. And, like, interestingly enough, man, there's a lot of people on the left who, in a way to come off as if, like, yo, we're better than those folks on the right, because even we're not as intolerant as those on the right, because even when it comes to language that we don't agree with, we agree with your right to say it. And, yo, he has a right to say it. He does not have a right to the platforms that amplify his voice, right? He does not have a right to that. And I think that is what's getting lost in the sauce, man. Like, yo, people think that because you get on the internet, like, you can say whatever it is you want. And a lot of us are dealing in anonymity. Like, nobody really knows who the fuck we are. We say a lot of crazy shit. Some of us are hiding behind avatars. Some of us are catfishing the fuck out of everybody. You know, like, but when it comes to Alex Jones and some of the things that he was saying, like, yo, this motherfucker was out here. He had his followers. His followers were harassing the parents of kids who were killed in the Sandy Hook shooting. Had his followers doing that. He was constantly bringing up, like, these kids were crisis actors. Crazy shit. And I can remember years ago, man, looking at, like, Alex Jones, like, I would see his videos on YouTube sometime, and, like, yo, man, these some crazy motherfuckers. And then I started seeing some of the people he would have on the show, like, racist motherfuckers, and I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers is crazy. And they're racist. Right? And you look at it and you're just like, yo, I want to say 8 years ago, like maybe eight, probably longer than that, 8 or 9 years ago. I remember when I first got on, like, YouTube, man, I was doing videos on YouTube, and I had a video that was entitled something about fringe, mainstream media giving legitimacy to fringe ideals, right? Excuse me. And this was around the time where, like, the Tea Party was becoming a prominent thing. And you started seeing a lot of racist rhetoric coming out of the Tea Party, and the Tea Party rhetoric was, like, a lot of it was anti-Obama. A lot of the racist sentiment was like, you start seeing memes of Obama as a jungle bushman or a witch doctor or a lion African and all these different things, man. And Alex Jones was one of those folks who were, like, astroturfing that. Like, he was. Like, that was an echo chamber for a lot of that shit, was Alex Jones's show. And then you look up, here we are 8-9 years later, where Alex Jones is big enough to have the president of the United States on his fucking show. He went from being a total sideshow, fringe ideal kind of dude to giving legitimacy by having the president of the United States on his show. Right? And you're seeing a lot more of that. This is how the Richard Spencers come up. This is how the Milo Yiannopoulos has come up. Like, we look at the internet, man. Like, in the a lot of folks look at the internet and it's like the democracy. Damn it, I'm fucking this word up. The democratization. The democratization of the internet is amplifying the voices of the people who may not necessarily have been heard before, right? And it's making them feel as though, yo, I am not the only one. And I say that all the time about the podcast, right? Like, yo, there are people who listen to my voice or listen to a podcast like mine or of like mine when it comes to the ideals that we share. And, yo, you feel like, yo, I'm not the only person who thinks like this. I'm not crazy. You know, even though I might be the only one amongst my friends, like, I'm not crazy because there are other people who are waiting to hear this thought validated and verbalized by someone else that they have no real connection to, right? And so with Alex Jones, we got a lot of that. There's a lot of people who started like, yo, this community became a thing. And now it's, like, blown up to the point where they've been able to put someone in the White House, right? In response to what was the Barack Obama presidency. And so Alex Jones has been, he was banned off of all of these websites. But the question of whether or not his free speech is being infringed upon is one that I find ridiculous. Only because, again, Alex Jones isn't in prison. Alex Jones is not being persecuted by the state. Alex Jones was kicked off of these platforms for violating the terms of service. Now, the interesting thing about this is, like, why did it take these companies so long to boot him off of their platforms, right? Why did it take them so long? It wasn't as if this was something that he was suddenly starting to do. It wasn't as if this was something that he had just suddenly, like, come upon. No, he had been operating like this for years. And I think a lot of the things, one of the reasons why a lot of these companies were refusing to move was because of the fact that, like, yo, a lot of these companies have been scared to move because of conservative media and the might of conservative media and how conservative media has made them think that some of these ideas hold equal weight to legitimate ideas. When we started holding these ideas up as if, like, everybody gets a voice, right? And I remember when I used to do the Art of Disagreement with Mr. Gates, like, we used to talk about some of this stuff. I used to think, like, yo, some of this shit is just crazy and it shouldn't be held at the same in the same regard. It shouldn't be held in the same regard as something that is mostly logical, mostly common sense, and it doesn't really hurt anybody. Whereas with some of these fringe ideals, it's basically like, yo, I should be able to fuck over everybody. And because the America gives me free speech and freedom of choice and all these other things, you shouldn't be able to infringe upon that. And my pushback to that is you shouldn't be able to harm people with your behavior. That's why we have laws, right? But a lot of these folks, they don't even want to, like, even though they will call themselves the Law and Order Party, like when we talk about Republicans and when we talk about the far right, they would talk about law and order. Yeah, it's law and order so long as law and order against those who don't look like us and those who don't support the ideals and the things that we do, right? And so we're giving legitimacy to a lot of crazy shit. We're holding Alex Jones in the same fucking plane as maybe, I don't know, someone like Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Walter Cronkite, you know, those sorts of things. Like, folks are really, like, holding him up to this sort of, like, yo, this is someone legitimate that we should be listening to, as opposed to looking at him as the carnival barker that he is, right? And allowing him to not only do that, but then amplify his voice by putting it on YouTube, by putting it on iTunes, by putting it on Facebook, by allowing his, not only his voice to be amplified, but for these platforms to make money off of what he's saying. Because truth be told, like, there are ads running up while he's, like, you ever watch an ad on, like, Facebook? Like, you'll be watching a video on Facebook and then an ad, like, just stops whatever the fuck it is you're watching, like, midstream. And be like, yeah, are you having trouble with your dick? You can buy this new Extends Plus Plus Plus. And we'll extend your dick like 5 inches. with just 5 users, right? And then it goes right back to your damn video, whatever the fuck it was you were watching, right? So, like, Alex Jones was not only making money for these platforms, but they were amplifying his voice because, you know, it's almost like a snowball effect. Like, you know, he's got a few listeners, and now it snowballs into more and more and more and more money for ads, more eyeballs, bringing themselves to what he had going on. But at the same time, what he was doing was harmful to the families of Sandy Hook. Now, you had people who were you had fans of his who were harassing family members of the people who were killed in Sandy Hook, like saying, like, you're like calling these folks up and telling them, like, you're a crisis actor. This shit never happened. Your kid never existed and everything like that. Like, that's fucked up. It's almost, we talk about, like, the example of yelling out fire in a crowded theater. Right. The consequences that come behind that. Yeah, you have the freedom of speech, but there are also consequences behind the things that you say. And Alex Jones was suffering from no consequences whatsoever. Right. None whatsoever. And so what the conservative media, what a lot of right wing media had been able to do when it came to these social media platforms was to exert pressure on them to say, well, hey, if you take him down, you're unfairly targeting his free speech and unfairly targeting his ideas. And truth be told, when it comes to those terms of service, Facebook, YouTube, Google, Vimeo, iTunes, Apple, like all of these, like these companies and these services, they are under no obligation whatsoever to uphold your First Amendment. They are not. So what does, you know, he do? I mean, shit, the motherfucker has his own website. I'm pretty sure a lot of his fans are flocking to his website. I'm sure they are. As I understand it, he still has an app in iTunes. He still has an app in the Google Play Store. So they're flocking to those apps. Suddenly his apps are in the top 5 in both of those stores for news and media. Right? That's how crazy this is. So, yeah, man, like Alex Jones being banned from social media, although I don't think he's going to go away, I do think that this is something that was long overdue. And I don't necessarily believe that he had a right to these platforms. We know none of us have a right to these platforms. As much as we like using them, we don't have a right to them. And the interesting thing about this, and I'm pissed that I didn't even think about this a second ago, or like before I even started this, was they're mad about this one guy being taken down. How many black folks, how many activists do you know who have been taken down off of Twitter, off of Facebook, off of YouTube, off of all of these platforms for far less egregious acts, while at the same time, racists are acting out with impunity? Right? It happens. So, yeah, man, Alex Jones got his ass kicked off of all of the social medias. That is a feat in and of itself. You got your ass kicked off all of the social medias, right? So that's going on. Another story, man. Clearwater, Florida. There was a shooting there. This shooting happened after... what's this guy's name? Michael Drychka? Is that this dude's name? He shot Marquise. Where is it? I had this guy's name right up here. Okay, let me pull this story up because I know I got it. Where is it? Okay, here we go. Okay, the shooter's name is Michael Drychka. And the victim's name was Marquise McLaughlin. Okay. Now, for those of you who are familiar, who are unfamiliar with this story, Marquise McLaughlin came out of a store after going inside the store because he heard a commotion going on in the car where his girlfriend and I believe they had 2 other children in the car. And Michael Drychka had confronted the girlfriend of Marquise McLaughlin because she had parked in a handicapped spot. Right. Marquise walks up, pushes Michael Drychka down, right? Like, fuck are you doing? Why are you yelling at my people? You know, just kind of like just, yo, pushed him down. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Right? Michael Drachko, while on the ground, pulls out a gun and fires into Marquise McLaughlin, hitting him in the chest. Marquise McLaughlin passed away. And Michael Drachko wasn't immediately arrested. The police in Clearwater, Florida decided that, like, understand your ground, that Michael Drachko hadn't committed a crime, that he was defending himself, that he was fearful of his life, despite what we saw on surveillance cam, right? On surveillance cam, you could see that Marquise had actually kind of taken some steps back after he saw the gun pulled out, right? And Drachko shot him anyway. It took for massive demonstrations to happen. It took for the media to pay attention to this shit. It took about eight, nine days before somebody actually arrested Michael Drachko and charged him with manslaughter in the death of Marquise McLaughlin, right? And it made me think back to Trayvon Martin, right? Because I've been watching the Trayvon Martin documentary, Rest in Power, man. That's on, I believe it's the Paramount Network. Been watching that over the course of the last few days, man. And it brought back like memories of the buildup as to how long it took before someone actually arrested George Zimmerman, and the ways in which the gears of the law were not really moving because of favors being, you know, favors old, or the bureaucracy of how the Stand Your Ground law was written. Folks scared of being sued by the Zimmerman family for their arrest if they did arrest him. It brought back memories of that. And I was wondering whether or not this would be a redux of what happened with Trayvon Martin, where, you know, we'd have these demonstrations and nothing really happens. Okay, we got an arrest. And that's all Trayvon Martin's parents want was an arrest. And that's all Marquise McLaughlin's family wanted was an arrest. But will we see the ultimate justice of this dude being held accountable for his actions by being convicted and being thrown in jail? Right? And I wonder whether or not the video of Marquise McLaughlin being available, because we never saw what happened with Trayvon Martin. Like, we all have this idea that Trayvon Martin, who was on his way home from the store with Skittles and iced tea, was being followed by George Zimmerman and, like, you know, defending himself from George Zimmerman. But and we are all convinced, and I'm one of them, like, convinced, like, yo, this motherfucker George Zimmerman got away with cold-blooded fucking murder, yo. Like, cold-blooded murder. But we don't know exactly what happened because we weren't there to see it, right? Here we have video evidence of what was going on with Marquise McLaughlin and Michael Drachko, right? We have video evidence of it. Whether or not this video being available will result in a different outcome, we would hope so. But, like, we've seen countless videos, unfortunately, up to this point, where, like, here's this police officer shooting an unarmed black person. Here's another, you know, and maybe it's because they were police officers. Maybe it's just more difficult to convict police officers, and everybody, especially white society, kind of deals with police as if they're the white knights of, you know, of society. Like, yo, we can't question their authority. You know, they go out to protect us and all these other things. Meanwhile, of course, as a black community, we're looking at them as like, yo, not only are you not protecting me, but you are protecting society from people who look like me, and you look at me as if I'm the threat, right? So I just wonder, man, like, whether or not we're going to see a different level of accountability held for Michael Drachko in ways that George Zimmerman didn't see it, because the video is available to us. But yeah, he was finally arrested, I believe, after like 9 or 10 days. He was finally arrested and charged with manslaughter and the death of Marquise McLaughlin, man. So that has been Proud to Be an American, yo.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly
All right. Shit. That's enough of that. But it's Blue Blazers time, y'all. I'll be damned. I don't know what's happening with my sounds, y'all. But what in Blue Blazers is going on here? Did this nigga say Blue Blazers? He did. Right. So, yo, in Blue Blazers, man, we got a story coming out of here, right here in Detroit, man. A story right out of here in Detroit. There was, well, apparently, some of y'all, some of us, well, I'm not saying me, but some of y'all, I should say that. Some of y'all need some enhancement pills, right, to perform with your lady, right? You need the pills, man. Like, you feel like you can't get it up, or your desire is gone, the thrill is gone, as B.B. King used to say. You need some help, right? And some of y'all don't even got prescriptions for, like, Viagra or Cialis or nothing like that. But let me tell you something. In Detroit, you don't need a prescription from your doctor for the Cialis and the Viagra. I'm going to tell you where you need to go. Tell you where you need to go. You got to go to the gas station, baby. Go to the gas station. You can go to the gas station, get everything you need for your sexual proudness, man. You can go get your rubbers, you can get your Hennessy, and you can get the Viagra all in one stop shop, man. You can go to the gas station. So check this out. This story here, again, like I said, it comes out of Detroit. As a matter of fact, let's do this. Let me share this with you guys, man, so you guys can watch this with me. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up. Because this is kind of wild, man. But this is a story I found, and I thought I wanted to talk about it with you guys. So check this out, y'all. Go ahead and expand that.
A lawsuit that was filed today is going after dozens of local Sunoco gas stations.
The suit is...
Whoops.
...dangerous male enhancement drugs over the counter.
7 Action News reporter Kimberly Craig has the story.
Named in the lawsuit are 62 Sunoco locations around Metro Detroit, including this one where a worker tells us that they stopped selling Rhino a while ago after they heard about the lawsuit.
Now, the problem itself isn't limited just to Sunoco stations, but we see more than any other category here in Detroit that Sunoco stations are selling these products.
Attorney Robert Taller blasting dozens of Sunoco stations in Metro Detroit for selling what he says are dangerous supplements being billed as all-natural pills for male enhancement. They're sold under names like Rhino 8 and Black Mamba, and Taller says their
not Black Mamba
shows they can contain antidepressants, lead, and arsenic, and also sildenafil, an ingredient in Viagra. And without a doctor's supervision, Taller says the outcome can include stroke and even death.
Another client, for example, in Southern California, who had a penile replacement surgery, 25 hours in the hospital, life or death surgery, and he barely survived, and now he has a replacement penis, which is a prosthetic.
Taller is representing a company known as Outlaw Laboratory, which makes what they claim is a safe product for male enhancement.
And they're Outlaw Laboratory,
the
though?
The Sunoco gas stations that sell the Rhino branded products here in our area.
These are high-margin products, so on a bag of Skittles, they may make 50 cents. On a product like this, which they buy for $1 or $2 and sell for $10, they're making $8 a pop. They don't care about who they hurt. They only care about the money they can make, and that's wrong.
And at least another lawsuit may be coming, this one from the family of a Detroit man who says he died after having a heart attack while taking these male enhancement products. Mm. In Southfield, Kimberly Craig, 7 Action News.
All right.
Sunoco just released this statement. It says we're not aware of any lawsuit by Outlaw Laboratory in which Sunoco LP or any of our corporate entities have been named at this time. The lawsuit names independent retailers who sell Sunoco branded fuel or did at one time. They are not owned or operated by Sunoco LP or any of its corporate entities.
Yo, man, they be backing up like a motherfucker, man. Hey, man, look, we ain't got nothing to do with this. Like these, some of these franchisees, man, we ain't got no control over what they do in their little store, man. We sell them gas, and that's all we sell them. Now, this shit that they sell on the inside of the store, that's all on them, player. You can't blame me for that. Can't blame us for that, man. We ain't got nothing to do with that, man. Real talk, man. Like, just leave us alone, man. We ain't got nothing to do with that. So, yeah, man, they sell them Viagra in the stores, yo.
Like, I always see those stuff in the liquor stores too, man. Like the Rhino 8s and the Black Mamba. See that stuff in the store. Like, man, are people really buying this shit? And apparently they are. Apparently they are, man. Like, yo, male performance, man. Dudes are really self-conscious about their performance when it comes to that, yo. And I mean, I know I made light of it a little bit earlier, but yo, man, dudes are self-confident, you know, self-conscious about our level of performance in all ways, man, especially in that way. Like, you can't be a man if you can't really knock it down is what a lot of, you know, the idea that a lot of guys have, right? So, yeah, man, that's going on, right? Another story here in Blue Blazes, man. R. Kelly, man, back in the news, but he's back in the news for the dumbest of fucking reasons, yo. Like, listen, R. Kelly, was renting some houses in the Atlanta area, right? He had rented out like a mansion, and then he had like a more modest kind of like crib down there that wasn't as big, right? But yo, R. Kelly is being sued right now to the tune of over $200,000 because he damaged all these people's property, man. It's not hate, though. So check this out. We're going to read the story here. This comes out of Global Grind. It says, on Friday, the Washington Post released an in-depth report on R. Kelly's well-documented history of abusing and manipulating young women, with testimonial from 6 victims and multiple witnesses and enablers. One extremely viral moment from the story came from RCA employees who said Kelly left a cup of urine and stains on the floor of a studio during a recent 6-week session. Okay, this is the story I wanted. But it's also something trifling as hell about R. Kelly. But that wasn't the story that I wanted. The story that I wanted was actually about... Where the fuck is it? Here it is. It says an Atlanta area property company is suing Grammy-winning R&B artist R. Kelly for $203,400 over extensive damage to 2 homes he rented. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports SB Property Management Global, based in East Point, filed the lawsuit Wednesday. It says one home suffered damage to electrical wiring, flooring, and windows, and was missing items including a stove, furniture, ceiling fans, and 22 light fixtures. These are the same homes an associate of Kelly's was accused of robbing in 2017. Alfonso L. Walker was charged with theft and burglary. Kelly and company settled in April 2018 for $170,000, agreeing Kelly would be released from damage claims. But the lawsuit says that Kelly has only paid $20,000 of that $170,000. The newspaper couldn't reach any involved parties for comment. Now, you still in the stove, bruh? Like, I mean, R. Kelly, while I was away, I think he did the 19 minute story song. I admit it, or some shit like that. And he was talking about all the shit that he's done and whatnot. And that I believe someone said like he was broke and he was staying at like the Howard Johnson and all these sorts of things. Are you selling fucking furniture that don't belong to you and you pawning it, bruh? Has R. Kelly been brought down to that level, right? Has he been brought down to that level where like, yo, man, the shows are drying up. Folks aren't buying the records the way they used to. I can't really get out here and make this money, man. Like, yo, so I might have to like pawn this stove, bruh. Is that what's happening? Like, truth be told, like, I'm not feeling sorry for the nigga. Let's not get that twisted. I'm not feeling sorry for this cat by any means whatsoever, but like, yo, is that what's happening? Because I kind of want to celebrate, but at the same time, like, yo, man, this man like caused damage of over $200,000 to somebody else's shit, right? So yeah, man, R. Kelly might be broke, and he might be pawning stoves. Like R. Kelly, I should rename this whole episode "R. Kelly Pawning Stoves," right? But that's going on, man. That's in Blue Blazes, man. Another story in Blue Blazes, man. Bill Cosby, man. Man, we going through the part of the Holy Trinity of black male molesters and rapists and shit. But Bill Cosby is in the news, man. This actually comes out of BuzzFeed. Bill Cosby says that being declared a sexually violent predator would damage his reputation, man.
Oh, man.
we don't hate it, but it's more what? Like, yeah, it's like, what? That's how you feel, right? So it says the comedian who is currently awaiting sentencing for rape also argued in court documents that it would interfere with his relationship with his family. Bill Cosby is arguing against the court declaring him a sexually violent predator before he is sentenced for rape, saying it would damage his reputation and interfere with his family life. Cosby's defense team filed a motion Monday in Pennsylvania arguing that declaring the 81-year-old comedian a violent predator would infringe on his state constitutional right that protects one's reputation.
Bruh. Your reputation been gone.
Since the Montgomery County District Attorney asked the judge in July to declare Cosby a sexually violent predator in advance of his September 24th sentencing for drugging and raping Andrea Constant at his Pennsylvania home in 2004. However, Cosby's attorneys argue that being designated a sexually violent predator is by any measure excessive when applied to an 81-year-old blind man. Oh, now this nigga blind. Like, he thought that shit was gonna work, man. It did not work at all. It says Cosby already faces the possibility of spending the rest of his life behind bars if he is given the maximum sentence of 30 years, but if declared a predator by the court, Cosby would be required to register for life with the Pennsylvania State Police sex offender counseling for the rest of his life and be subject to community notification if he's ever released. Cosby team, as if we wouldn't be notified when that motherfucker got out of jail, though. Like, it's Bill Cosby. Come on, man. It says Cosby's team also argued that the designation would severely interfere with his relationship with his children and grandchildren, an excessive outcome considering no misconduct regarding children has ever been alleged. The jury for Cosby's first rape trial last year was unable to reach a verdict. However, for his retrial, the jury of 7 men and 5 women voted after about 14 hours of deliberation to convict on 3 counts of sexual assault. So, yeah, man, Bill Cosby out here. He's trying to be a victim in this sense, right? I can't see my grandkids. I can't see my children. Like, dude, you about to be locked up anyway. Nah. I ain't really feeling, like, very charitable to Bill Cosby in this moment. But that's funny, man. That's funny. Bill Cosby out here claiming, like, yo, it's going to fuck up my reputation, as if he had any reputation. As if he had anything left, man. Real talk. But that has been What in Blue Blazes, man. Hey, man, I don't know what the hell's going on with my sound effects, but we ain't been really on point tonight. I gotta tighten this shit up, man. And also, I'm also wrapping this up as far as, like, we're not gonna do the champ of the week, and we're not gonna do ass hat of the week tonight. I'm gonna wrap it up right here. I'm gonna do that. But before we get out of here, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. I gotta remind you guys of that. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play them on the show, respond right here on the show. You can email us here at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live and respond to those here right on the show. You can also hit us up at our website at www.thesparereport.com. Go there, vote in the polls. You can watch replays of the show. You can leave comments there. Spread the show around, man. Go ahead and hit that share button on the website, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. You can go there and also donate, man. There's a donate tab on the upper right hand side of this of the website. Go ahead and hit that donate tab, man. You know, like, we really do appreciate those of you who rock with us in that way, man. And you can give as often as you like, as much as you like, and it's always appreciated here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Also, hit up our Teespring store, man. Go to teespring.com/user/SparingPortPodcastNetwork, or you can just hit that link on the website and go to the store, man, and go ahead and cop yourself a t-shirt, man. Go ahead and get yourself a coffee mug or a cup or a onesie for your newborn babies, man. We got a whole bunch of stuff there that's available. Go ahead and do that, man. It's your one. It's another way to put on for the show. 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, man. The 5-star reviews are the preferable ones. Those are the ones that get read here on the show as well, man. We really do appreciate y'all. And the YouTube channel, man. Like I said, I'm going to start putting clips of the show on our YouTube channel, man. So if you want to leave comments on some of those, go ahead and do that. We will read those comments here live on the show as well. But yeah, man, it's good to be back. I got some kinks to work out. It's been a while, but it's good to be back. And I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.